طفلة تمتطيه قوس قزح، طفلة.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, where each week you will hear the Palestinian narrative, the Palestinian perspective, the Palestinian voice exploring the realities of the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian homeland. You will not hear this narrative very often in the Western media, which is why it is so important that we present it each week on This Week in Palestine. This Week in Palestine was created by Sharif Pham and is continued in his memory. This is your host, John Roberts. For decades, Palestinians have used whatever means were available to seek justice against the Israeli military occupation of their land, even the International Criminal Court, the ICC. After many years of endeavors to get access to justice, Palestinian civil society and victims welcomed the prosecutor's announcement that there was sufficient evidence proving the commission of war crimes in the territory of Palestine. However, 7 years since the beginning of the preliminary investigation, and more than a year after the opening of a full-fledged investigation, no concrete steps have been taken by the court to put an end to the impunity crisis in the Israeli-Palestinian setting. While the ICC has recently proved that it is capable of a prompt reaction over serious and urgent situations, the Office of the Prosecutor's seeming reluctance to select cases in the Palestinian situation gives rise to a serious concern about a practice of double standards. The presentation today brings together the Palestinian NGO's senior officers and scholars to shed light on the ongoing perpetration of serious violations of Palestinians' fundamental rights and publicly denounce the lack of effective measures taken by the court in one of the most documented situations for the commission of war crimes and crimes against humanity. The speakers at this morning's forum, which was recorded a few weeks ago in The Hague, Holland, which is home to the ICC, and call upon all stakeholders to invite the ICC to ensure that accountability in Palestine is pursued without further delay. The participants in this edited forum that you will hear include Rajay Sarani, Director of the Center for Palestinian Rights, Susan Akram, Professor at Boston University School of Law, Shawan Jabreen, General Director of Al-Haq, and Issam Yunus, Director, Al-Menzin Center for Human Rights. The moderator is Tristan Marianello, legal team for Gaza victims. The forum title is The ICC and Palestinian Justice. Moderator Tristan Marianello begins the forum.
So before giving the floor to our great speakers today, first of all, I wish to thank the five organizations, the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, Ahlak, Al-Mezan Center for Human Rights, International Federation for Human Rights, and the Center for Constitutional Rights, for inviting me to chair this event, but also, in particular, for arranging this event on a so timely topic, which raises, as you can see from the flyer, a very important question, which is justice still possible for Palestinians? In my views, this is a crucial question for the victims of the most serious violation of human rights in the Israeli-Palestinian setting that may amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity. This is a crucial question for the Palestinian civil society that for decades, in a very difficult context, has worked to prove that these crimes have been committed in order to provide evidence to the International Criminal Court. But it's also a crucial question for everyone who still believes that the right to access to justice is a fundamental right of every single victim of the most serious crime. And there is not any real politic argument that may justify a double standard approach by the International Criminal Court, a court that on one side claims universal aspirations, but on the other side continues to discriminate among human rights abusers on the basis of their citizenship and to deny justice to some specific victims. The prosecutor's decision to start the investigation was welcomed with huge enthusiasm by the victims in this situation. However, after more than 13 years, 1/3, since Palestine started its engagement with the International Criminal Court, no effective measure has been taken by the court yet. Such prolonged denial of justice, both at the domestic and international level, constitutes an encouragement for the perpetrators to commit new crimes and sends a very dangerous message that the most powerful human rights abusers can ultimately avoid any investigation and prosecution. As we will hear today, we have already an answer to our question today. Justice is not possible at domestic level for Palestinians. If there is still someone out there believing that the Israeli authority are willing to ensure accountability for the alleged perpetration of international crimes, I would strongly recommend anyone to invite the report that you find on your table. If you don't have time to read the report, you can just have a look at the recent decision of the Israeli Supreme Court that has authorized, permitted arbitrary displacement and forcible transfer of almost 1,200 Palestinians, including 500 children, from their land, Masafer Yatta, or to look at the very recent decision of the Israeli authority not to investigate the murder of the journalist Shirin Abu Akleh. The United Nations have already widely documented that the Israeli authority, the Israeli justice system, has the effect of shielding political and military officials from any prosecution by delegating all the powers to the military advocate general, whose independence and impartiality are highly questionable. So before giving the floor to our speakers, please let me conclude that putting an end to the long-standing impunity in the Israeli-Palestinian setting is not only a fundamental right of the victims, but it's also a duty of the International Criminal Court, and it's also in the interest of the same court if the court is willing to show its ability to withstand political pressures and interference with its work. The investigation, this investigation and prosecution could really be the final test bench for an institution whose credibility has already been seriously affected by the decision not to investigate crimes in Palestine in 2012, in the Iraq situation, alleged crimes by the British troops, and in Afghanistan, alleged crimes committed by U.S. nationals. So, without further ado, I will give the floor to our first speaker, Raji Surani, Director of Palestinian Center for Human Rights. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tristino. Dear friends, thank you for the Humanity Hub as well for hosting this. It's a great opportunity, I mean, for us to be with you, with the free, committed people who are interested in knowing the truth, who are interested in rule of law and interested of justice and dignity for man. Palestine engaged, as Tristino rightly said, for a long time with the ICC, and we invested as a human rights organizations, as lawyers with the Palestinians or international, as legal team who worked on that, a lot of time. But to make the story short, that Palestine signed ratified Rome Statute in January 2015 and took the preliminary investigation till December 2019, till it was concluded. And we provided, I mean, first-class submissions for major cases has been committed by the Israeli occupation authority within Gaza, West Bank, including East Jerusalem, effectively from June 13, 2014. Till this moment. But there was decision in December 2019 to refer this to the pre-trial chamber. And the pre-trial chamber, immediately after that, was referred to it. There was decision by the American administration to criminalize prosecutor, assistants and office, and the judges who will dare to touch Israel. And they promised to seize their accounts, canceling their visas, confiscating their properties, and that applies also on lawyers who work on that, American lawyers, I mean, who are part of our team. Now, this is unique and unprecedented and so ugly to see one of the most powerful states on earth acting bluntly, clearly against rule of law, against the ICC, the creme de la creme of the human experience, because of providing more legal impunity for the State of Israel, for occupation, for belligerent criminal occupation who is there for the last 55 years. Then, after Biden partially revoked this, not all, and he continued, I mean, with the protection of the State of Israel and its impunity, there was decision by the pre-trial chamber, and they decided precisely that Gaza West Bank, including Jerusalem, locates within the area of jurisdiction of the ICC. But what had happened with Ben Souda, I don't know whether some of you know about it or not, but she never spoke about that publicly. She was impersonally threatened by two senior diplomats at her office, physically and security threatened. But she was courageous. She wasn't provided with any protection. And she concluded that in March 3rd, she will open the investigation. So we have to say things in a clear way and in a clear language and salute this piece of African marble and its courage, how to stand for justice. After that, she appointed an investigation committee for Palestine, and Mr. Keke, Karim Khan, was elected in June 17 and took office. Since then, till this moment, we can assure you as lawyers, as representatives of victims, as organizations who are following this hour by hour, day after day, nothing moved 1 millimeter since then till this moment. Is that intentional? Is that coincident? It's because of the restructuring the ICC court and system. We don't know, but that's what we have been told. What we know, and that's shocking us once again, since this Ukrainian war erupted. Russia invaded and occupied Ukraine. The whole world moved, rightly and justly, and we welcome that. No principled person, no one who believes in rule of law, international humanitarian law, can support invasion or occupation. And Mr. KK said, I have no resources for Palestine. I have only 50,000 euros. He called in person the states, and he said, I want donation for that. And he received not tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars by rich, powerful states. He said, I don't have investigators. I don't have researchers. Please let the state recruit these people. And they recruited them 4 days ago. 43 of them were stationed in Ukraine. He in person visited twice Ukraine. And he tweeted in person about the crimes happening there. And he said, Ukraine, theater of crime. But he didn't. I mean, approach Palestine. He didn't approach West Bank or Gaza. He didn't comment on Shireen Abu Akleh or the victims of the Israeli war crimes. He didn't mention Sheikh Jarrah or anything. More, he opened the portal. And he said, any can file complaints, whether they are victims, eyewitnesses, families of victims, journalists, maybe human rights activists, whoever, please do that. And they did. In Russian and in Ukrainian language. I just want to remind everybody, we have Israeli criminal belligerent occupation who do systematic war crimes for the last 55 years. Nobody talking about Israeli occupation anymore. And that didn't move anything anymore. The report of B'Tselem and PCHR, our experience as human rights organizations, my personal experience for the last 43 years working in the Israeli legal system in defending Palestinian victims, I can assure you one thing. Never ever we believed justice or dignity can be achieved for a Palestinian and the Israeli legal system. We didn't do that because we believe occupation can provide dignity and justice for victims. It's vice versa. Their mission, omission, whitewashing these crimes. We are not neither stupid or naive to resort to that, but to prove with first-class professional legal files, with first-class legal work, with direct complaints to the MAG, Military Attorney General in Israel, with using Israeli legal system, including High Court of Justice, that is mission impossible. And when you cannot achieve that, you have resort to international justice. And then we began to look for that, and to make the story brief, we resorted to universal jurisdiction in Switzerland, in Madrid, UK, and many other parts of the world. But the result was zero. Apologies for the State of Israel and fixing the laws to make sure not an Israeli single officer or politician can be held accountable. We are not Ukrainians. I'm in full sympathy with the Ukrainian people. The West said invasion, occupation, this consists of crime, war crime, crime against humanity. Ukrainians do have the right to resist the occupation, even to take arms and fight the occupation. Boris Johnson asked his people publicly to go and help the Ukrainians in defending the freedom and work against the occupation. And he promised to send the most high-tech arms, he and many European countries. We are under occupation. Nobody talks about that. We think, irrelevant of sex, race, religion, or color, or nationality, human beings deserve justice and dignity. But we do feel that the ICC is not moving in the right direction. The new prosecutor didn't equip us as recent conflict. Is it because we don't have blue eyes and white color, because we are not Europeans? Shireen Abu Aqla, she's a Christian. But when occupation target, they don't discriminate who is the Palestinian. Christian, Muslim, atheist, whatever. They shoot and kill because of Palestinian. Child, old, young, man, woman. The word, I think, with Ukraine having a test case. What word we want? Word with the rule of law? Or word of rule of jungle? We have to insist that we want a word with the rule of law. That's how dignity, justice, I mean, can be provided for people. ICC, it's not a Palestinian invention. Geneva Convention, it's not a Palestinian invention. It's the creme de la creme of the human experience. We have the right to use it like any others who suffer from discrimination. And they are victims of criminal occupation. Some think we will forget or forgive. We see Kilani family every day. We see Kolak family every day. We meet with the Najjar family every day. Sheikh Jarrah just there. And what's happening in Jerusalem, widely watched. Settlements, building settlements, pillage. These days coincide with 1 year anniversary of last offensive on Gaza, which almost has been forgotten by everybody. But the destruction and the death, you can feel it in the streets of Gaza till this moment. Nobody talks about blockade. Nobody talks about ethnic cleansing for Palestinians in Jerusalem. Nobody talks about this new brand of apartheid in the entire West Bank. We are not going to be good victims. And we have no right to be good victim for anybody. Resisting occupation, it's part of our obligation. They want to take the hope from our hearts and minds. Nobody will take that. They want to take optimism, and we will keep forever our strategic optimism. We are on the right side of history, and we know they are on the wrong side of history. We will fight for our right, not of justice and dignity only, but right of having an end for a criminal, belligerent occupation and the bringing all those who committed these war crimes and crimes against humanity, persecution, ethnic cleansing, one day to international justice, and I hope this will happen soon. I hope this message being conveyed on behalf of Palestinian victims in Gaza, West Bank, Jerusalem, by the names of who lost entirely their families, by those who entirely lost their properties, by the name of hundreds and thousands of handicapped people, for those who are suffering day to day for the last 55 years or since 74 years since the Nakba, and to tell the ICC prosecutor, we need justice. It's our right to have justice. Justice delayed, justice denied. If people like ourselves, who are old enough, wise enough, professional enough, is angry, what about victims? What about ordinary people? Please try to move swiftly, quickly on the Palestinian files. Please act as the law applies, as international law applies. I'm leaving with short note. We are strong. Strong enough, but we are much stronger with the free, committed people across the globe who believe in rule of law, dignity of man, justice for victims. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Raji. We will have hopefully plenty of time for questions in the second part. So what I will do now is to call immediately Shawan Jabarin, General Director of HALAC. Please, Shawan, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Tristino, and it's a great pleasure to be with you today. When I look at the eyes and faces, also it gives me and the strengthening also my hope that the people, they stand behind justice. I will not be long, and I will speak in very brief. Palestinian people, they are waiting for justice, still waiting for justice since 48 today. That's the case. And also in the same time, the war crimes and the crimes against humanity continuing since that time until today. And we are here as a professional human rights organizations to address. And the ICC, the International Criminal Court Prosecutor Office, and also other organs of the body, and also to send a call also to the officials and the international community, asking them to act according their legal obligation. We are not asking them to act according ethical things only. Ethics and ethical dimension is important, and we need it also these days, but the main issue is to act according their obligations that they ratified, that they signed, and it's a time to give a meaning to the international law and to give a meaning to justice and what it means. That's why we are here. We submitted today a submission to the prosecutor office regarding what happened in occupied territory last May, I mean 2021. And also, this is not the first one. This is more than the sixth submissions since Palestinians acceded to the ICC. We are not here for crying. No, our hearts cried all the time when we see victims and when they knock the doors and when we read the affidavits of the victims and the eyewitnesses about what's going on there. But here we are trying to wake up the conscience and also the obligation of officials and the ICC and everyone. And we keep hope, we have no doubt of that, that the future is for justice. As Raji said, we are strong enough, but I think it's a time. It's a time. Also, ICC needs also Palestine, as Palestine needs also the ICC. And I think the image of the ICC is an issue these days under big question. Justice is not selective, and justice is not something you speak about it as a word. Justice, the victims, they have to feel justice. Even if we feel justice and victims not, that's not a justice. And they think here, victims, we have to take them in our account. Also, without justice, no way for peace. That's. And when we say anything about ICC and its role, we look also at the preventive role that the ICC can play. When it proceed and account, you know, and hold the criminals accountable, that's also it serve a peace, because there is no peace without justice. They have to keep that in their mind. That's the issue. The ICC also it's playing a preventive role when it proceed and hold the criminals accountable. That's how we look at it. We will continue. We keep a hope. World is changing. And I think it's a time. It's a time to hold the criminals accountable. This is as a way, you know, to bring justice for victims. Thank you so much. And we will not give up. And we will not step back. And even if they don't do their work, we will continue believe that the future is for justice, and we will do believe that the criminals will hold accountable one day. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Shawan, also for placing emphasis on so many important issues that I'm sure will come back during the Q&A. I will now just give immediately the floor to Susan Akam, professor at Boston University. Susan, the floor is yours.
It's a real honor to be here next to my longtime friends and colleagues from Palestine. I cannot add more to what you've heard and will hear of why it is critical that the International Criminal Court commence prosecutions for the crimes it has been investigating for Israeli criminal conduct against Palestinians. The point I make today is that the International Criminal Court prosecutions are necessary, but not sufficient to end impunity on Palestine, and why they will not, nay, cannot, address the true extent of criminality suffered by the Palestinian people for over 70 years. Critical as the ICC prosecutions are, it's important to understand the limitations of the international criminal law framework for obtaining justice for the enormity of the crimes against the Palestinian people. The issues currently acknowledged as under investigation are the 2014 Gaza conflict, Israeli settlements, and the killings and injuries of civilians during the Great March of Return demonstrations in Gaza in 2018-2019. The ICC's application of the Rome Statute will be limited to examining the evidence on these situations as war crimes or, less likely, crimes against humanity under the laws of armed conflict and over a period beginning only from June 2014 and confined to the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem. Very briefly, I'd like to compare the application of the Rome Statute's war crimes framework against other legal frameworks of international humanitarian, criminal, and human rights law to illustrate that ICC prosecutions are necessary but insufficient, and that the focus must remain on a broader legal framework that fully addresses the length, breadth, and scope of wrongs against Palestine and the Palestinians. I'll briefly compare the familiar frameworks of armed conflict norms, with occupation, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, self-determination, and human rights with that in mind. The ICC will view the Gaza and settlement situations as violations, as I said, of the law of armed conflict. The principal norms of armed conflict are familiar to everyone here, so I simply point out that the ICC is thus far only examining the escalation of conflict in Gaza in 2014 and 2018-2019. However, the indiscriminate and disproportionate attacks, the targeting of objects providing no effective military advantage, and the intentional targeting of civilian and civilian houses have been persistent features of Israel's long-standing policy of punishing the entire population of the Gaza Strip, which for 15 years has been virtually imprisoned by Israeli-imposed closure. The temporal limitations of the investigations leave out the forced displacement and massacres from 1947 onwards that Gazans have suffered, the loss of their homes and lands, the collective punishment of the Gazan people, which have claimed thousands more victims than the war crimes prosecutions contemplated by the ICC. On the other hand, if the conflict in Gaza and the settlement enterprise are viewed under an occupation framework, there are also significant limitations to an ICC framework that is confined to the settlement project. From the fact that the ICC will identify only a handful of individual perpetrators, that many, if not most, states are unlikely to assist with enforcing warrants for arrests of these individuals, to the fact that none of these prosecutions will obtain reparations for 70-plus years of the crimes of the Israeli state from the individual dispossession and expulsion of 800,000 Palestinians, the insufficiency of the international criminal law framework is evident. Thanks to Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, B'Tselem, and other prominent human rights organizations, the legal frameworks of apartheid and racial discrimination have been increasingly gaining traction. The apartheid lens would go much farther to filling the gaps from the war crimes framework, but again, the ICC's jurisdictional limitation to the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem leaves out the institutionalized Israeli racist policies incorporated most recently into the 2018 Israeli nation state law, and prior laws, official statements, and policies that target, affect, and are intended to affect all the Palestinian people from the river to the sea. Also thus far left out of the ICC lens is ethnic cleansing. Yugoslav ethnic cleansing policies were the basis of indictments in the Criminal Court on the former Yugoslavia in 2001, 1995. And the ICTY ruled that acts of ethnic cleansing, such as the Srebrenica massacre in 1995, were genocide. In the Bosnia case against Serbia and Montenegro, the International Court of Justice ordered provisional measures against Yugoslavia for reparations for its ethnic cleansing policies. These cases are relevant for Palestine, but are nowhere on the horizon for the massive forcible displacement and population transfer suffered by Palestinians for over 70 years in the current ICC investigation and war crimes framework. Now I come to the last familiar construct, the rights triggered by the denial of self-determination. Violations of international law and self-determination committed by Israel against Palestine include the violation of the territorial integrity of the occupied Palestinian territories, that is, Israeli acquisition of territory by force, the fragmentation of the occupied territories through settlements, settler roads, the wall, the annexation and closure of occupied East Jerusalem, the blockade of Gaza, and the treatment of Gaza as a separate entity. Violations of Palestinian sovereignty over their natural resources, which few talk about, and Israeli exploitation of Palestinian land and water. Israeli measures such as taxes, import-export restrictions, which have transformed the Palestinian economy into a totally dependent economy and a main consumer of Israeli goods, what Sarah Roy has named as the de-development of the Palestinian economy. Denying Palestinians the right to express, develop, and practice their culture. The destruction or closure of their cultural sites, even their graveyards, and institutions and repression of their freedom of expression. Depriving Palestinians of the capacity for self-governance, the closure and separation of Gaza and East Jerusalem. All of these have been carried out with the intent to colonize through racist, official Israeli ideology that denies the right of indigenous Palestinians to their own country. So let me conclude about why it is so critical to view the ICC prosecutions as a start, but hugely inadequate in themselves to redress the crimes in Palestine. I emphasize that it is time for a strategic movement that goes beyond the Rome Statute and the ICC, that it is critical to incorporate a legal framework that unifies the Palestinian population in a single experience of 70 years of mass expulsions, ethnic cleansing, forcible transfer, and denial of self-determination. A movement that rejects further fragmentation of the Palestinian people by its occupiers, its donors, its public representatives, and its international agencies. It is time to critically examine the legal frameworks applied to Palestinians so that every single killing in Gaza, in every new conflict, does not have to be individually scrutinized as a violation of international humanitarian law, and whether it was an act of occupation or an act of international armed conflict. It is past time to focus on the broadest frameworks of international law so that the movement can find traction in all the ways that law and grassroots efforts make possible. And to be clear, that ICC prosecutions are necessary, critical, but by no means sufficient for justice in Palestine.
So without any further ado again, I will give now the floor to Issam Younis, who is the director of Al-Mezan Center for Human Rights. Last but not least, Issam, the floor is yours, please.
Well, thank you so much, Tristino. It's a great honor and a pleasure to be here today with my colleagues to address you on justice in Palestine, or the denial of justice in Palestine. Many thanks for the Hague Humanitarian Hub for hosting us. And thanks to Don Hug, because we could meet our friends from Ramallah. I'm from Gaza, Raji from Gaza. For many years we did not meet, so we have to fly thousands of miles just to meet Shawan and other colleagues, while it's only 1.5 hour driving between Gaza and West Bank. Oslo has identified the territories to be one territorial unity. If there is any good thing of Oslo, at least Oslo has identified West Bank and Gaza, including Jerusalem, to be one territorial unity and its integrity to be preserved in theory and in practice. Israel has transferred Palestinians from being a nation to the communities. The community of Gaza, drone and with its problems, sewage access, and access means that severe restrictions on the movement of individuals and goods, including cancer patients. Jerusalem is also isolated from the rest of the occupied territories, drawn with its problems, building licenses, residence permits, taxes, and south of West Bank is isolated from the north of West Bank, and no need also to mention Palestinians outside in the different camps in Badawi, Yarmouk, and other places. And also many thanks for the Dutch foreign minister for visiting Palestine at this very difficult time. Very much appreciated, and it's sort of reaffirming the Dutch commitment vis-a-vis peace, justice, human rights, and civil society. His Excellency met with the civil society, including our colleagues of Al-Haq. Al-Haq has been one of the organizations that has been designated as terrorist entities. We could not meet the minister because we were flying to The Hague, but it's very much appreciated and really very thankful for that. In the 5 or 3 minutes that are there, I know that I'm the last speaker, so please forgive me for being the last. I mean, I'm sure you're tired, but I'll be as brief as possible, and I'll start my talk with the very traditional or classical and odd question. Can a woman be half pregnant? The question is very simple, no. Either pregnant or non-pregnant. It's exactly justice. It's almost the same. Either justice or lawlessness. As Raji all the time says, it's the rule of law or the rule of jungle. It's the key word in the occupied territories. Accountability. No one is accountable, and as long as Israel is not accountable for its practices, we all the time were saying that the worst is yet to come. 2008, we were alarming, raising concerns for those whom we meet, diplomats, politicians, Europeans, that all dynamics are there for the worst. And we were in the heart of the worst, and we discovered that still worse than what we expected to be the worst. I have a son who is 19 years old, and he have witnessed, 19 years old, 4 wars. 15 years of them under unprecedented blockade since the year 67. And blockade is not a collective punishment that's outlawed under international law. There is a process, a very systematic process of de-development, seeing the future of a whole nation. Fragmenting and isolation of Gaza, and pushing Gaza backward 50 or 60 years. The dynamics of this are very serious, accompanied by the complete denial of justice. Victims did their best to pursue justice through the system, the Israeli legal system. We cooperate and work with the Israeli legal system. Because we as representative victims, we have to seek any window for any hope for them. So imagine someone, his home was destroyed by F-16 Israeli jets in the year 2008. And in 2012, when he reconstructed, was destroyed again. Or a family member was killed. And until this moment, justice has not yet been achieved. However, justice is being further than any time to be achieved. The system boycotts the victims. I mean, hundreds of cases we submitted for the military advocate general, the Israeli military advocate general, and no serious cases or serious investigations being launched or indictments. The ICC is the most civilized mechanism established by civilized nations. We consider ourselves part of those civilized nations, accept what they accept and refuse what they refuse. So the court is a place where victims could pursue justice. In the year 2009, the Palestinian Minister of Justice approached the General Prosecutor at that time, Mr. Okambo, and asking him to open the investigation of the claims or of war crimes and crimes against the humanity at that time. And 3 years later, he returned back and said publicly that he could not open the investigation because Palestine is not a state yet, at least not recognized by the two or three major entities, the Security Council of the United Nations, the General Assembly of the United Nations, and the General Assembly of the Court. So later on, Palestine became a state, non-member state, has state personality to accede to agreements and acceded to the Rome Statute. We have white smoke. The obstacle has been resolved. However, we discovered that it's very, very far still. We have submitted many submissions, as my colleagues have just referred. Today was the last one, furnished with information. And we are not the only ones in towns. I mean, different reports by commissions of inquiries, fact-finding missions, special rapporteur of the United Nations, I mean, commissions and fact-finding missions that were appointed by the Human Rights Council of the United Nations. And they were full information about claims of human war crimes and crimes against the humanity. When multi-story buildings were destroyed on top of those who were living there, many families have been deleted from the civil registry. Infrastructure has been attacked directly, mosques, churches, hospitals, and so far justice has not yet been achieved. The court decided, as my colleagues just referred, that decided to open the investigation. No need to go into details in this. Until this moment, no step forward has been taken. While people there are paying very high price, out of this very utilitarian way of engaging with this that part of the world. I reiterate my colleague Raj's words, that we as Palestinians, we may be the ones who know exactly what does it mean occupation and aggression. That's why what's happening by the Russians is absolutely unacceptable, and they should be under international investigation, justice, and victims, wherever, whoever are they should also enjoy justice and protection. We have a very chronic lack of accountability. It's for us very, very clear. We are full of hope. As long as we see these faces and people who still advocate human rights, our goal is very simple, that it's time to reconsider accountability and the court move forward towards ensuring protection for the victims. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to a forum, the ICC and Palestinian Justice, recorded at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, Holland. And that is our program this morning. Thank you for listening to This Week in Palestine, a weekly feature of Truth and Justice Radio. You will find us here at WZBC 90.3 FM every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, and on KKRN.org at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. We thank you for joining us, and we hope you will join us again next Sunday and every Sunday for another edition of This Week in Palestine. This is your host, John Roberts, wishing you a good day.